All right, good morning.
Good morning.
I need two prayers. Two short, brief prayers, and Delana will close it out with the third one. Two. Don't be shy. One. Give me a female. I need a female. Short prayer. Female. Before I pick somebody. All right, two. Can you start? Then you, then Delana will close it out.
Good morning, Heavenly Father. We just thank you for this day. We thank you for all of us coming together this morning. We pray that we have open hearts and open minds to hear the message today. Amen.
God, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing each and every one of us here. That you'll set aside why we think we're here. Keep us open and fertile, ready to receive whatever it is that you brought us here for. Amen.
Amen. Infinite Creator, recognizing right now that there is only one thing happening. It is the life of God, and we are all having it individualized. And from that place, I recognize that we have all that we need. It's in this room. It's in our hearts. It's in our consciousness. And so we ask humbly that the solution sits in our soul, that it lands on fertile ground, that there is nothing obstructing it, that there is no resistance. We are free to become our authentic self, that we are free to release the things that no longer serve us, that we are free to place the cornerstone into our spiritual structure that we remain willing to believe. And so I release this word in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Can I grab a minute here? Hi, my name is Tony Mary. And I've been to a number of these things before. I know some of you know me. I don't know a lot of people. A year ago March, I went into the hospital for my third back operation, and I figured I'd be home in a couple of days like I always was. This time, no. I was in for over a month, and I didn't come out the same way I went in. One of the things that happened is screwed up my memory. I could know you for 5 years. We could have a half-hour conversation last night, and I won't know your name today. Can't help it, guys. Sorry if that happens. That's what it is.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Tony. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all were opened, and everyone's bands was loosed. Who had an experience last night or this morning? Great, small. Tell us about it.
Small. I'm Tanya. I'm an alcoholic and addict.
Hey, Tanya.
I just did what you asked and thought about my unmanageability and wrote that and followed the instructions and prayed and, you know, just had some clarity about where I'm at with my unmanageability. And saw where I was in trouble. And it just became more clear. I knew I was having trouble. But,
Who else? Somebody else raised their hand. Yeah.
Jay, I'm a heroin addict.
Jay.
You know, I wouldn't say as specifically as much as, you know, from the reading, from the scripture, even though it's a really good one. But, you know, coming into this weekend, you know, my intention was to have no expectations and let let the direction go whichever way it needed to go. And I had a conversation with a guy yesterday afternoon, just opening up about some things that I had bottled in, things that I was too afraid to let people know about because I have this image that needs to be presented. And so last night in prayer, God just kind of spoke to me that, that this transitional period of seasonal change that I'm experiencing, along with the world with seasonal change, fall coming in, he kind of just let me know that everything's kind of falling into place exactly how it needs to be. And so it was comforting.
Mm-hmm. Need one more. Anybody else?
Yeah. My name is Tracy, and I am a drug addict and an alcoholic.
Tracy.
As I was going into my room last night, a lady came up behind me and says, "Oh, we're in the same room together." And the first time that I met her, I didn't know who I was rooming with. And we sat down on our beds, and I just broke down and started to cry. And I just opened my heart and shared my story, or a piece of my story of what I was have been struggling with and the unmanageability of that. And she bore witness to that, and she had insight and intuition as to what was going on. And it was the Spirit of God speaking to me through her. And she reassured me that I'm here for a reason, and that those answers will come to me as long as I continue to do what I am doing, and that closure is very important in order for us to move on to the next phase of our development. And so that is why I'm here this weekend. I did not know that when I first came here. I thought I was here for many other reasons other than that. And it came to me very clearly now as to why I'm here. So, and it was an amazing experience. And I keep hearing this, I hear the chains falling when you are reading that scripture. And
I will continue to hear those chains. That was my experience. And it continued
through this
morning as the sun rose
and
we drank coffee walking the properties. So. An amazing. Isn't it interesting that we think we know?
Yeah.
We think we know. Yeah. So there's a guy named Dick B. that wrote a book called The Good Book and the Big Book. And I'm going to read a couple excerpts from step one and then hand it over to Delana. It says, Dr. Bob specified the Bible as the source, and Bill specified the biblical principles of the Oxford group. Biblical ideas originated with Sam Shoemaker, the Oxford group, Henrietta Sibling, and Dr. Bob's wife, Ann. We are concerned with what early AAs used that worked. AA's own successful approach was to describe steps that were taken and the experiences that occurred by following the recovery program. AAs borrowed from medicine, religion, and their own experience. Then to let others decide for themselves what they, as individuals, would do to further their own religious growth or spiritual growth. Step one, and deflation at depth. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable, or powerless over cocaine and all other mind-altering substances. AA's medical mentor, Dr. William D. Silkworth, chief psychiatrist at Towns Hospital in New York, and the man who treated Bill Wilson as Bill sought and attained recovery, said, "Men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic or their addict life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented. unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks. Drinks which they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful with the firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over, and unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is little, very little hope of his recovery. Psychic change, spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. Bill Wilson's principal religious spiritual teachers in the days before A's Big Book was published was the Reverend Sam Shoemaker Jr., a rector. Shoemaker often wrote of a much deeper spiritual problem causing irritability and discontent in most people of that day. Shoemaker's first title said, "The modern mind is restless and easily bored. There has always been a large amount of unhappiness in the world. Look at the sheer irritability you can find. Can you count off half a dozen really happy, really peaceful people whom you know? So many problems, so many complex situations. The thing which is striking about much of the misery one sees is that it is spiritual misery. The sadness of maladjustment to the eternal things, and this throws out the whole focus of life. The root of the malady is estrangement from God, estrangement from Him and people that were made to be His companions. You need to find God." Bill Wilson covered this same territory when he wrote the following AA's Big Book. We have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Remember that you deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find Him now. This is the sickness of the spirit, a sickness for which there must necessarily be a spiritual remedy. We recognize this in the first five words of step 12 of the recovery program. Those words are, "having had a spiritual awakening." Here we name the remedy for our threefold sickness of body, mind, and soul. Here we declare the necessity for that all-important spiritual awakening. The spiritual problem, as Shoemaker characterized, estrangement from and lack of contact with God. Bill Wilson's description of alcoholism, a three-part disease, physical, mental, and spiritual. Biblical roots identified the spiritual problem, a problem epitomized by the Big Book's cry that there was a need for the seemingly hopeless alcoholic or addict to find God, and to find Him now. In the Confessions of St. Augustine wrote, Thou madest us for thyself, and our heart is restless until it reposes in thee. This idea struck several of AA's root source writers as the real spiritual problem. Sam Shoemaker added, the emptiness, loneliness, homesickness, wonderment, which all men feel at some time, is a hollow place in the human soul that God is meant to fill. Dr. Leslie D. Weatherhead, Henrietta Sibling, and Bill Wilson quoted the book of Job to describe man's despairing need to find God. Dr. Henry Emerson Fosdick quoted Psalms 51, 1 through 5. Reverend Sam Shoemaker quoted the Apostle Paul's description of man's spiritual problem and its solution. One of the early AA pioneer stories in the Big Book's first edition quoted this segment of Romans. Dr. Carl C. Jung, years after Bill Wilson had written the Big Book in the 12 Steps, explained to one of Bill's Oxford group members, Rolling Hazard, the solution to the alcoholic spiritual problem. His craving for alcohol was the equivalent on a level of the spiritual thirst of our being for wholeness expressed in medieval language and the union with God. Chung then referred Bill to Psalms 41, 42, and 1. As the heart panteth after water brooks, so panteth thy soul after thee, O God. The bottom line in AA's first step was very, very possibly biblical. Life had become unmanageable. The alcoholic would never recover, found Bill and Dr. Bob, without spiritual wholeness, without finding God, without union with God, as Carl Jung put it. The spiritual problem, which Jung described, been defined in the Bible by Job, by David, and by Paul. Man needed to learn and concede spiritual fact in order to see his need for God to his seemingly spiritual hopelessness. The solution to the divided self problem was crucifixion of the big I, surrender of self. A turning point involving self-surrender to the ego. The unmanageability of spiritually sick life focused on self, a life of self-centeredness and egocentricity, in which self constituted God. Shoemaker summed up the spiritual problem as follows. God is, and self is not God. That is the heart of it. It is an actual fact that we become God to ourselves, unless we have God to believe in. The final reference becomes ourselves. Early AA's regular study of Scripture, in their search for the power that God could provide, they studied the good book and they sought the power of God for the solution to their spiritual misery and despair.
That's heavy. That's heavy. So here we are. You know, we're crushed by a self-imposed crisis. We don't know it's a self-imposed crisis yet, but we are crushed. And so just to give some symbolism to it. So here we are. We have the circle and a triangle. Many of you have seen this before. We're just going to touch it, okay? So I have the body, the mind, and the spirit. By this time in step one, I recognize I have the phenomenon of craving. I'm powerless in my body. If I put it in my body, I'm not going to be able to control the amount I take. Right, Davey?
Right.
Okay. So many of us already understand this 110%. I have it. Do you have it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
This one is easy. This one's easy. So there's powerlessness in the mind. Separated from drugs and alcohol, my mind takes me back, whether I want to go or not. We're talking powerlessness in the mind. That I have the type of mind that takes me back. I can't remember with sufficient force to stop it. It doesn't matter if I want to. It doesn't matter if I feel like it. It doesn't matter if I say I was done. It doesn't matter if I get married, have a baby. It doesn't matter if I'm successful. My mind takes me back. Do you have that?
Yes. Hands. No hands.
Because we have to diagnose ourselves. We don't want this. Who wants to say they can't handle their liquor? You tell me. Who wants to say I can't control my drugs? I choose to do this. Nobody wants to admit it. What does that mean? Powerlessness spiritually. We talked about it. Can't control my emotional nature, I heard him read. I don't feel like I'm of real use to anyone. My emotions drag me down the street. I'm like a leaf in the wind, somebody said it last night. I'm like a leaf in the wind. Wherever fear takes me in my mind, that's where I go. I spend my money based on that fear. I get in the relationship based on that fear. Do you? I don't sponsor based on that fear. But this is what I want to talk about, because this is what I heard Michael talking about, what the circle represents. Wholeness. So we talk about treating all three parts, bless you, body, mind, and spirit. Then I experience the wholeness that was intended in my creation and my appearance. I was already whole. I'm whole sitting in the chair. I just don't know it. So it's my opportunity today to bring your thinking up to the reality. Should I repeat that? You're not going to get whole. You're already whole. You came whole. It's only your thinking about wholeness that stops you from experiencing your wholeness. There's nothing I'm going to say that's going to make you whole. I did not create you. Step two is the solution. I don't know if you guys write that in your table of contents, but we do. All by itself, we agnostics, the solution. Do you have that in your table of contents? Yes? We kind of gloss over step two because nobody really wants to touch the God idea. I don't want to impress upon you mine. Steps four through nine are how we get to the solution. Step 10, 11, and 12 is how we stay in the solution. Step two, solution. So now here I am. I'm trapped. I'm trapped. I'm trapped in powerlessness. I'm trapped in my mind. I'm trapped in my thinking. I'm trapped in my experience. I'm trapped in the narrative. I'm trapped in my abuse. I'm trapped in my trauma. I'm trapped. And in my abuse and in my trauma and in my neglect and in my abandonment and all these things, I need anesthesia, so I go back. It doesn't work. I know it doesn't work. It hasn't worked in 5 years. But I have no control over it. I'm in the eye of the hurricane. I know you've had a lot of visuals of hurricanes lately, so that's what I felt like. That eye of the hurricane. I'm trapped in it. And it's just circle, cycle, 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 cycle. Are you with me?
Yes.
So I'm faced with the destruction of step one. I'm powerless in my body, mind, and my spirit. And here's the thing. I'm constitutionally incapable of being honest with myself. The job is not going to fix it. The new house is not going to fix it. I know what I'm going to do this time. It's not going to fix it. I'm constitutionally incapable of being honest with myself. On my own. I need help. I need someone and something to pull that honesty out of me. I talked about this last night. I have to see in the eye of the hurricane, I'm terminal. There's a little part of me that wants to live. And that's enough. Just a little part. You don't have to fully want to live. Just a little bit of you. And you can think of dying again. That's fine. Just as long as there's a little bit that wants to live. I know I'm in a room full of suicidal people. I'm clear. I think it's the human condition. So now, you see, I remember being pissed off. I agreed, I saw, I conceded, I agreed that I was powerless, body, mind, and spirit. I had the disease. It was devastating, but I said, okay, I got it. I was so pissed, but nothing made me more pissed then the sponsor moving on in the book to the next phase and them talking about God was the freaking solution. My grandmother had been talking God, Jehovah, Jesus all my life. And it hadn't solved a damn thing in my life. It hooked her up. She's hooked up. You know? Yeah. Oh, rest in the bosom of the Lord, Delana. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Prayer changes things. Faith unlocks the door. I mean, just everything. Let me put some oil on your head, Lena. Really? I'm too fly for oil in the middle of my forehead. Anybody identify with that?
Church all day Sunday.
Oh, my God.
All day Sunday church. From morning, Sunday morning to morning night. Sunday night church.
And they were having fun. Mm-hmm. Hated it. hated all of it. I wanted it to change and die. It was enough already. It was not solving my problems. And yeah, I feel like everyone had the solution to life but me. I was left out. How do I not feel so sad? How do I not feel so isolated? I used to think I was an alien. Any other only children in the house? Oh, yeah. Fuck, there's no other people around. They're all adults. You know? It's weird. I was like a social retard. So I really did not connect easily. I definitely could not connect to the infinite, invisible. And then this God had anger issues and was obviously not more powerful than the devil, you know, because the devil could run amok, you know. I feel like we talked more about the devil than anything. Even at church, when they start talking about the devil, the music gets fast. I was like, shit! You know, devil, get beneath my feet. Really? Is that all we need to do? Like, I don't know. So now I'm agnostic in my temperament. I do believe that there is a God, but what the hell is that? I have crack over here. Crack! Oh, crack! And now you want me to bring Jesus to beat crack? It's a dilemma. Right? And not only do I have crack over here, I have before crack, right? And all of my sin. So crack didn't cause sin. I'm sinful, age 5. Anybody else?
Yeah.
It's going down, right? My parents have no idea who I am in this house. I am a stranger amongst them. But I'm cute. And I get good grades. So they have no idea that I'm a demon child. I dream of their death, all kinds of things. I used to want my mom to die on a regular basis. I did not like her. That's how deep my selfishness is. If I don't like you, if you make me uncomfortable, if you make me sad, I think death should be like. Because I don't want to feel your discomfort anymore. Anybody else? Just me.
Yeah.
Don't go away, die, you know, because I don't want you to return. I don't know. I learned this in inventory. I suggest you get to 4. And I suggest you get to truth. I did not have the ability to be honest with myself, and that is what we're talking about. So I could not recover from this disease. Can you get honest? Where's my boy? Can you get honest? So, thank goodness, whoever the hell wrote the words to We Agnostics, Bill, maybe, and his input from the people that you talked about, said that admission of a possible existence is enough. So I'll repeat that. Admission of a possible existence is enough. That's enough to possess a new sense of direction. Just a possible existence is enough. So if you're judging your idea of a higher power, it's separate from your family's presentation of a higher power. Or maybe you are estranged from your religion, which makes you estranged from God. All you have to have right now in this room, not in the future, right now, is an admission of a possible existence. Wow, that's not a lot. Even if you believe in Big Bang Theory, something blew the shit up. If you believe that we evolved from monkeys, where the first monkey come from? You with me? You feel me? Just possible. Because you don't know, do you? There's doubt. You don't know. So maybe you're wrong that there is no God. So here's the question. Let's say there is. Let's just call it God. Why would this God love you? Why would this God hook you up? Remove the obsession. Let's talk about it. I have all this self-hatred. I have all this self-loathing. Who has it? Who has it? So if I hate myself, why would I think God could love me? I believe that's where relapse occurs. I don't know anything about unconditional. I think God's a man. And I am a human, and I have conditions in my love. So I think God has conditions in his love. Her love. It's love. I know you did that shit you did. I know you have that secret. Those secrets. I know you're gay and you don't want to be gay. I know you were molested. I know you were abandoned. I know you stole. I know you killed. I kill my children. I take them to the clinic. Get the fuck out of me. I'm a murderer. According to the Christian faith, Jesus already died for your sins. Chill. Like, relax. It's covered. Somebody picked up your tab for you already. Yeah, let that resonate. Give yourself a break. God's grace is sufficient. Did I say I kill children? Did you hear me say that? I'm no different than the guy who walks into this elementary school and shoots the babies. I'm no different. Are you clear on that? Do you understand my sin? Do you understand the stain? Yet I sit before you, telling you about the grace of the Almighty God. And that it removed the obsession from me. You kill children? Anybody? I know you rape. Understand. I know the guys that raped me, they weren't monsters. They just had to rape. That's where they were. It doesn't change wholeness. As I become more aware of wholeness, then I treat myself differently. And I treat you differently because I see it in you. So who hears your prayers then? Who are you saying the layaside prayer to? Who knows you're even on the planet? Who knows your pain? Who knows your desires? Where do you lay your burden? Estrangement.
You're reading my mind, huh?
I do that too.
Why do they use that word so much? I'm estranged from God. What does estranged mean? Anybody know? Huh? What else? Estranged. What does it mean?
There's conflict. They so I used, can't connect.
They used it a lot in what I just read. Why?
Separated.
Who said that? God, we read minds in here this morning. Separated. Why? Let's talk. Dialogue. Why? Why did the early guy, AA is the granddaddy of anything, any AA?
Because God is the only thing that's going to heal our brokenness is if we can continue to keep ourselves separate from God, we can stay in our sickness.
But why is saying we are estranged, separated from?
Because we're not rightly related. We think we have a better way. Here?
Estranged means separated. So if I'm separated from something, it means what?
I am apart from. I am not
no relationship.
And one time I was what?
With
a part of. Connected to. The whole.
So removed from.
The book says we have to be willing to lay aside our prejudice about spiritual matters. Right? I'm estranged because there's conflict. Mm-hmm. How do you have an estranged mother and father and spouse? Remember, you were once with your spouse. And then all of a sudden, you're estranged because there was conflict in the relationship. Something made me apart. What makes you apart? Tell me your name. Yes,
Brandon.
What makes you apart? How come you're apart from your maker?
Sense of undeserving.
How come you don't deserve it? I do. How come you don't?
I'm different.
You are. How? You came from your mother's vagina, right? Right?
No.
Your mom and dad has sex. It is no accident that that egg and that sperm came together and spirit became present in your mother's womb. That's how I got here, unless you were hatched. So how are you different? When the Creator created you, how are you different? I'm going somewhere. I'm not just talking to Brandon, by the way.
Like on paper, I recognize that, but internally that's not.
But I'm talking to you internally. I'm talking to you. There's only one life here. It's the life of God. You're having it. I'm having it. How come you won't receive it? You want it or not? Then act like it. Open your heart up right now and not one more day exclude yourself from life, from love. Imagine you're an infinite idea in the mind of God and your mama named you Brandon. It's hard to accept divinity, isn't it? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. You're not what you've done. You're not what you've done. You are not what you've done. Who else heard that? Separate yourself from the behavior. That's where your freedom is. So, it's really hard to use our finite mind to imagine the infinite. But whatever concept you have now is sufficient to make contact and get results according to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. But the only thing that opens the mind up is alcoholic destruction. You know, like, that's the only thing that opens the mind up. Faced with alcoholic destruction, I become reasonable to believe. So, I'm going to give this analogy and then let's discuss it, okay? There's two things I want to say. I want to bring into your awareness. Do you believe in gravity? Do you? Anybody here not believe in gravity? Is there any place where gravity is not on the earth? No? You believe in it. It's everywhere present all the time. Yeah? If a good person jumps off a roof, will there be an exception to gravity? Gravity is a law. You believe in it, don't you? Have faith in that shit, don't you? You picking up what I'm putting down? Huh?
Yeah.
You worship gravity, don't you? You do not fuck with it, do you? You respect it. You have fear of gravity, don't you?
Yeah.
You picking up what I'm putting down, sir? So if gravity is present everywhere all the time, and you respect it, and you have faith in it, and you believe in it, and you honor it. What about that created the law of gravity? Present, everywhere, all the time, doing what it does. What does it do? I'm not going to get this tattoo, but don't be surprised if you see this in your life. I believe, I'm going to share my concept of God, okay? I believe that there is a creator. I don't care how you worship it. I don't care what you call it. I believe that there's an origin of life, a source, an origin point. And that creator I need earrings. So that the creator creates, and it creates everything that life needs, and that this line represents life, and it represents love. The creator creates life, and that life is love. It's not that warm feeling I get in my groin that's love. It is life. It is energy. It is, I don't know another word. So I believe that the creator creates, and that the creator is always in relationship with me, and that we are always co-creating. That's why we talked about last night, knowing what you want, because what I want, I create. Setting your intention, because what I intend is what happens. So I'm always in creation. Just like the flowers, they bloom, and then the flowers fall off. And they look like they don't have flowers anymore until it's time again.
I'm in a cycle of life. Okay? The problem, the only problem, the estrangement, is that I don't know it. I think my mom created me. I'm telling you, I've given birth. I did not create those children. I carried them. I don't know how to create life. I didn't learn it anywhere. I can't tell you how it happens now. And I've done it. I was a host so that the body could develop long enough so it could breathe on its own. You see the alien movies? So it is up to me to recognize that I am in a reciprocal relationship with the Creator. And it is when I practice this oneness. What did I call it?
Oneness.
What did I call it?
Oneness.
Oneness. The big book says that the fundamental idea of God is deep down in every man, woman, and child. This is what I'm telling you is the fundamental idea of God. That all that God is, I am. That every mineral that's in this earth is in my body, including gold. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. I belong here. This is my space suit. Mm-hmm. And before I had a face, I was me. Should I repeat that? So in my mother's womb, when she hasn't missed her period yet, I was still me. I just needed a body. Are you following me?
Yeah.
What's true for me is true for who?
Us.
Yeah. So you're so full of shit. You think it's about you and your body. It's not. It's about this. So that I use this thing that the Creator created. Right? To carry the message. To be the message. To be the gift. Does that make sense to you? Let's go back to the book. Precise law. Humanity is a precise law. Right? If the sperm is the egg, you get life. If the sperm is the egg, it's a law. Like gravity, you believe in it? Is that 10:30? Oh, no.
No.
Final analogy. Do you believe there's money in the ATM machine?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes. You still put your card in, though, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we believe, right? Right? Does belief give you access to this money?
No.
What do you need?
Action.
Yeah. Action. In order to get money out of an ATM machine, what do you need?
A key job.
A job. What do you need?
No, you don't. You don't need a job.
You need an account. You need a relationship with the financial institution that has the source you're looking for.
He sent my girlfriend pin card.
Yes. We will chastise him later. Relationship with the financial institution. You have to also have made some deposits or belief and a relationship with no deposits. You still have nothing coming from the ATM machine. You also need the card and the PIN number, right? So you need some intimacy with that relationship as well. So his belief is one thing. What page is it on? It's on page 50. It says, on one proposition, however, these men and women are strikingly agreed. Every one of them has gained access to two things and believes in. So belief and access to a power greater than themselves. So belief is one thing. You need access to. That's the other thing. So it's moving from the theoretical mind space to the heart space. But I have to first agree that I belong. Do you belong? to life? Do you belong to the universe? Do you can believe in the universal presence. Do you belong to the universal presence? To the great reality? Jesus said, when you see me, you see the one who sent me. Bam! It's hard to accept, huh? Why? Because you've done things with your penis? Why? I don't have one, but I would have done stuff with mine, too. Quickly. Things hanging off you all your life, I mean.
No.
Go ahead.
No, it's not about the penis. What's interesting is that what we're talking about has been going on since the beginning of time. What we're talking about is not anything new. It's been going on since the creation of man. The estrangement. The separation from God. Since the beginning of time, man has made a decision to live in his created world as opposed to the world that God created for him. That's what's interesting. The estrangement. And this good book is just one book that talks about it. It's a number of books, coupled with a number of teachers, more experienced than I am. I have to get to a place of believing. And for me, and Delana touched on it, we're reading minds, the willingness to believe grows into a belief and a faith that grows into a knowingness that begins to alleviate that estrangement. And I go back to the source in reliance and dependence. I believe that the physical stuff that we take on, the unmanageability, I said we would talk about 18, 52, 151, Four Horsemen on your own. Take a look at those pages. I believe they're very necessary in our lives to get us back to the source. Because what God does, what that source does, it gives us free will. And again, necessary to see how well do you do with it. How well do you do with it? How well do you do without me? Very powerful step, second step. Very powerful step. It's the key. It's the key that opens the door. So I just can't say I'm going to use the key. I got to see why I need to use the key. Step one. I got to see why I need a solution. Step one. I have to have concrete experiences and living life to see why I need the key. I need to go through another door, because the door, the room I'm in, it ain't working. I'm restless, I'm irritable, I'm discontent. Life don't make sense, people don't make sense. But most of all, my spirit is affected. Because my humanness is taking charge. I like what you said, Tony. That's why I'm still here. I need to be reminded why God has to be. Because I wake up. I call him Mr. on 12th Street. He wakes up. And he wants to run some stuff. So very powerful deal. I don't know where Delaney's going to go next, but I have to consistently, when I get to a step two, and I've done it umpteen times, look at how do I think about God? Where's your belief system now where God is concerned, Mike? And you know what shows me where my belief system with God is concerned? How my feet is moving. How am I living out my life on a daily basis? Do I practice what I preach? One of the biggest deals in my life is hypocriticalism, being a hypocrite. I can talk the talk. You walking the walk? Mr. C is my sponsor. I'll go to him and I'll talk to him about something, and he'll look at me and he'll say, "So what would you tell one of your guys?" So every time, step two, I have to look at my current conception of God. And I do that by looking at my feet. How you walking?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you guys understand that? Look at your current conception of God by looking at your feet. So what am I doing? What is my action? What is my practice? What I'm practicing will let me know how much faith I have or how big my God is. I went to grad school. I went back to college at 39. For what? I didn't have any student loans, and I went back to freaking college. I got a master's degree at 45 years old. For what? What do you want? Can you walk in the direction of it? What do you want to give up? Can you walk in another direction? Looking at my feet lets me know if I have blind spots or not. There's areas that I do not believe my higher power has authority over. The big book says at a certain point, you know, either God is or God isn't. Shit or get off the pot. What is your choice to be? What did you write in your book? So, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, I'm clear. I had to ask myself, do my ideas work? Am I going to trust in the infinite or the God of reason? What I think I know. What I think I know. what I think I know has gotten me so far. But it doesn't take me where I need to go. I get a Benz. I get a house with a pool. I get some jewelry, platinum. Yeah. Somebody who likes me in public. I come from a desperate place. Just like me anywhere. But like me in public, I'm marrying you. I'm having your babies. The God of reasoning. This part in the book, my original direction was, I'm saying the lay aside prayer, several times a day. I'm comfortable saying the prayer. I rely on the prayer. I believe the prayer has gotten me this far. I'm really, really stoked that I have a prayer life now. And then here comes, you know, sponsor man with, okay, consider God isn't and don't pray for a week. And I'm thinking, but I'm a relapse. Because I think my little funky lay aside prayer has kept me sober. I don't even know this yet. That the Creator got me here through all the disease on the planet, through my mother's drinking and smoking, that I'm here in visible form, and I think my funky prayer is the prayer that sustains my life. I think God needs my prayer to help him keep me sober. I don't understand how this thing works. If I'm beyond human aid, then, you know, what are we saying? If I don't keep me sober, then what are we saying? Grace, God's grace is sufficient. Either it is or it isn't. Either he is or he isn't. Either she is or she isn't. What's your choice to be? It was a cold week. I was scared to death. Again, circumstances. The guy who doesn't believe there's a God, he grew up in the Catholic Church, he grew up in Catholic school, he's like, there is no God, because if there is a God, I wouldn't be here in my pitiful alcoholism. And when he had a spiritual experience, what we realize, what the book says, that circumstances made him willing to believe. Circumstances. My pain. I can't live like this anymore. I can't hold on to my pain more than I'm willing to hold on to a willingness to believe. Placing the cornerstone onto the foundation, step one. What I know about this disease, that's my foundation. What I know, the common problem, the common solution, what I know. My foundation is step one, but I must place the cornerstone on my foundation, and that is a willingness to believe in a power much greater than myself, whatever that concept is right now. And I need, over time, a higher power with no circumference, no limitations, that I'm never separate, only in my thinking. And when I feel separation, remembering that it is where I need to change my thinking. I need to look at my feet. Oh, I'm tripping. I worship me again. That's what the reading said. I worship me again. So, it sounds like I have a decision to make. Step three, which brings us to step three. So, Brandon, since I'm up your ass, What's your choice to be? Hold on to what you got? Or jump off the cliff and see if you have wings? Nobody sits here unless they've jumped the launching pad.
You know, it's interesting what the Big Book does, too. And it's one of the beauties of it. It gives us an option. It says, believe or be willing to believe. Why do you think it says be willing to believe? Well, you woke up, huh? Why do you think they give us the option to be willing to believe? Because, for sake of time, being built willing to believe allows me to move out of the place of estrangement. Being separated. Because there's stuff that's happened as I've lived in this sphere of existence that separates me from God through page 45. Honest doubt and prejudice, particular idea of God. On and on and on, they map out criteria for me to take a look at. What are you really, what's your relationship with a power greater than yourself? And is it conducive to you turning your life and your will over to that power? Will you do that? And if I don't have an idea of God, even a willingness to believe, I'm not going to do it. That's why I stayed out there for so long. Them old folk, take him for your partner and you'll make your plans larger. He's Alpha and he's Omega. Didn't work for me. Second step is an awesome jumping off place. Because I get to abandon all those old ideas, morals, and philosophies and ways of thinking about God and actually giving him a shot.
God is not Santa Claus either.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm good, then I get it.
Mm-hmm. I did a whole piece of work on, and I looked at, what if I don't pray? What if I don't meditate the way I have been taught to meditate for years in this program? Will God still love me? Will he still take care of me? Will he still do for me what I cannot do for myself? Conditional. Fixed ideas about God. Second step stuff I need to look at. I found out God loves me exactly where I'm at. But I need to be able to and be willing to put myself in a position for him to do that. Second step. So, my second steps have been, my belief has grown. But there's still areas and things in my life that I get to look at that's attached to, uh-oh, well, you better be willing to believe he'll show up. Because I'm watching my feet and he hasn't really showed up yet. Or he showed up and he's given me what I've needed and I've relied on my humanness again. So I had to be reminded that God is. and has to be in every area of my life. Every area. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Then I begin to get a God consciousness. Personal to me. Big Book talks about a personal relationship with God. Now don't be hoodwinked and bamboozled. Everybody in this room this morning don't need it. You don't need God to stay stopped. You don't need God to alter and change your life. That's why the book talks about three types of alcoholics and addicts. Everybody don't need them. Are you one of them that don't need them? That's what you need to find out. And if you are, may you find him now. That's what this is about. Am I the one that sits in the middle of the circle? Am I in the club, in the club? There's a club in the club for me. All that meeting makers make it and, you know, get a service commitment and, you know. That's part of the equation, but that's not the equation for me. The stuff we're talking about this weekend. Cultivating a partnership, a companionship. GW used to say a love affair. Cultivate a love affair with God. You can fall in love with any nappy-headed, out of shape. Fall in love with God. See how that works for you. It's worked. Second step, it's worked. That's first and primary in my life. My fiance is not first and primary in my life. My kids and my grandkids and my great-grand is not first and primary in my life. God is. And that relationship with God and that love affair with God. And I look to expound in that and grow in that on a daily basis. Why? Because I want to stay whole. And without God, I can't. Anybody ever hear Dark Night of the Soul? Don't want no more of them. Don't want no more. Don't mean I won't have them. It kind of works out. I don't never get. It don't work out the way I want it to. Okay. He's got a plan. Anyway.
Thank you. I mean. So. Okay, this God idea. Okay. I heard you. Okay, it's God. That's the solution. I got to practice it. Okay. Right? Okay. Shut up already about it. Shut up. Right? Because, right? I got it. Okay? Okay. Well, okay. So, the only way that I'm going to decide what you hear, only way I'm going to decide is that I have to believe that what? A life, what? Run on self-will. Yeah. Can hardly be a success. I have to be convinced, the book says.
And how am I convinced? With practical experience. The exercise I asked you guys to do last night in the unmanageability. Is your life still unmanageable? Have you tried to fix it with self-will?
Am I still letting my body run my life? Okay. Is my selfishness still my focal control stimuli practice? Because the evidence is relationships don't work. I'm irritated. I'm self-righteous. I know it all. Everything I do is for me. You know, I give you money, you think I'm generous. But I give you money because I know you got a settlement coming. I'm making an investment in my next move on your ass. Right? Because I'm sure you were born to serve me. That's relationship. Like, I don't know how you made it this far without me. And aren't you lucky that I'm here to help you be what you need to become? I play God, is what the book says. It doesn't work, is what it also says. And so, in my decision making, the big book says that it is the keystone through which the arch I walk, a free person. You want to be free? The keystone. So that's the stone that's the stone that's placed there, and then all the other stones are placed in accordance to that stone. Does that make sense to you? So you see an arch with the bricks? They place the keystone, and then the other bricks are placed in based on how the keystone was set up. It will sit according to that. Does that make sense to you? So these are the other stones, the other steps that you place. Does that make sense? So we lay the foundation on step one. We place a cornerstone onto our spiritual structure, a willingness to believe. But the keystone is that I stop playing God. There's freedom in that. And that I recognize that I have a new director. A new principal, a new employer. I work for Club Soba on my check. But every day that I walk into that place, I know who my employer is. So they don't have to change. I'm there to do God's work. I have agency. You see this? I'm undercover. I'm an angel. You understand agency? Right? You understand agency? What's that guy's name? That undercover agent in Europe? James Bond. Right, nobody knows. Right? He has all these fancy things in his pocket. Right? And he's there for something. Are you here for something? Are you on the planet for something? Are you an agent of the Creator? Are you planting seeds? Are you pulling weeds? We make a decision. And we move in the direction of it. But then it says, and we're going to talk about this afterwards. It's good to make the decision, but it must be followed up by what?
Vigorous action.
Got it? Thank you.